Hi, my name's Nova Miaskowska and I'm a research fellow at the Marine Biological Association of the UK in Plymouth. Part of my role in the UK Ocean Acidification Benthic Consortium has been to look at the roles that climate change and ocean acidification play in shaping rocky shore communities. So we've built two huge new mesocosm systems. They're controlled temperature and pH systems. They're entirely closed circulation, so we have a large footer tank. We have a header tank, and this gravity feeds about 150 smaller tanks. We have various different temperature treatments and different CO2 level treatments. And we bring about 3,000 animals in from the field. We give each individual one a number. We sex them, weigh them, measure them. And then they basically live happily or otherwise in the system for 12 months while we track their survival, progress, growth, reproduction. The major species we've been looking at are a warm water species of top shell, Phorcus lineatus. This is a grazer that's showing some of the fastest biogeographic distributional shifts globally of any species on the planet. So we were interested to see, well, temperature's obviously having a very positive effect in the northeast Atlantic on it, but what would be the effect of lowered pH when it starts to get to potentially dangerous levels? We also looked at a cold water predatory gastropod, the common dog whelk. And then we also have the cold water winkle, Litorina litorea. So we wanted a range of different distributional types, preferring different water temperatures and also feeding modes as well. One thing we're very careful to monitor is what's happening out in the natural populations, because otherwise all we have with our results from these experiments is just a neat experiment. So every month when we sample from each of the tanks, we go out and we sample the source field population nearby as well. So every measurement that's taken from the animals in the laboratory, we do the same from the field. Then what we have is a controlled treatment. This basically means nothing is done and it's supposed to replicate natural conditions. If our natural conditions in the field match our natural conditions in the laboratory well enough, then the animals should respond the same. And we've been very pleased to see that that actually has been the case. We found quite a few different things. As we thought, climate change in the form of temperature seems to be the driving factor, changing survival, growth, distribution of these species, and of course reproduction, which is a key element of all of the above. What we also found, which we weren't quite expecting, was that ocean acidification in the form of lowered pH seems not to have an additive stress effect with temperature, but also tends to work in the opposite direction. So we might see a positive increase in growth with a change in temperature. We then were expecting to see maybe an enhancement of some effect with pH. Sometimes it actually reversed the trend of temperature. So we're still trying to unravel exactly the mechanisms behind all this, but it does look like it's a bit more of a complex relationship when you take climate change and ocean acidification as joint stresses into account at the same time. One of the interesting things we found from the mesocosm results was that the response to pH was not particularly huge for these intertidal organisms. But when you think about the rocky shore, and especially in rock pools, the pH levels fluctuate more on a daily basis than they may well do over 50 years. So possibly these animals are a little bit better adapted to changes in ocean pH change than those creatures that are permanently submerged in very stable environments. Whereas with temperature, we know already, especially if you live, say, high up on the intertidal, you have air temperatures when the tide goes out. These change rapidly. When the sea comes in, you have to experience a totally different range of temperatures. So with temperature stress, it seems to be the more you live in an uncertain environment, the more difficult it is to adapt even further, whereas with pH, we almost seem to be seeing the opposite. So far, we've been mainly concentrating on single species responses, and we've started to develop some work between trophic linkages, so between production of food and those that eat it. I think the consortium's got to a stage now where we've got a wealth of information on these species, and we now start to need to build this into ecosystem level responses, and then we can start to cost in the impacts for goods and services as well. One of the things we get asked quite a lot is, why do you need to build these big systems, tidal tank systems inside the laboratory, when the rocky shore is one of the most tractable to survey? Well, there's a couple of reasons for this. One, we actually want to isolate some of the factors we think are driving these changes. So instead of having hundreds and hundreds of different potential factors like temperature and wind and food supply, when we think we know what the major driver is, it's quite nice to be able to isolate that factor in the laboratory. Secondly, it's actually quite difficult to build such chambers in the intertidal and actually stop them from being damaged by people. And it's also extremely expensive for all the equipment and sensors. We've had much experience with this looking at climate change. And unfortunately, until we can find some nice remote area where we can deploy all these, it's not actually practical at the present time to be able to run all of our experiments out in the field.